COVID-19 has created challenges in almost every aspect of life, including diets. Fort Hays State University's Glenn McNeil talks to us about what we've learned about what we eat this year and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. This is a perfect opportunity, I think, where at the end of the year, we frequently talk about food safety and cooking, and this year, 2020, has been just, crazy. What do you think people have learned kind of over the course of the year about their own cooking habits as a lot of people have been stuck at home?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about this year is that people have learned they can actually cook. Okay, now, there's a couple ways you can look at this definition of cook in, so to say, this modern or situational time. One is, I can open a frozen meal and heat it up in the microwave or an oven, and I've got a really good meal. You know, you can buy the boxed meals for a week, and the old TV dinner has come a long way. So, you know, in other words, we don't really call that cooking. We call that warming up, right? But some people will say, oh, I can cook. I can heat this, or I can heat that. But so much more than that this year, people have learned that, okay, they can actually prepare a meal, and it doesn't take a tremendous amount of time, you know, 30 to 45 minutes to put something together and have a nice balanced meal. It's not the all day cooking like grandma used to do for many people, or, you know, in the case of some of us, our mothers used to do all the time, or some of us still do from that process. But people have learned through the internet and through television and talking to neighbors and friends and all this that, you know, cooking's not that hard. Now, it does take a little practice, and you do have to be able to follow some instructions to do this. And most of us can do that. So, you know, in this day and age, pick a recipe, and they're all over, you know, whether magazines, books, you can get cookbooks, you can, with all the internet access we have right now, you have your little screen right there on the counter, and you push a button, and it takes you to a YouTube page, and somebody takes you through the preparation aspects step by step, and all you have to do is follow them. So you pick a recipe, all right? Then you have to look at your equipment. What do we have in the kitchen? It is amazing to me that people have learned that they do have ovens, okay, and that you can't just turn an oven on and it's instantly hot, all right? It does have to warm up a little bit. There is a little bit of preparation. That a traditional oven is different than a microwave oven and the way it cooks and the way it prepares things. And today we have all these little countertop ovens too. So you check your equipment, whether you need a mixer or a spatula, or you need a whisk or something of that nature to do some preparation. And most of us have the basic things that we need. Then the next thing you do is you've got to assemble your ingredients based upon your recipe. Now, this leads us to something else that Americans have discovered, or I would say rediscovered. We have spaces in our homes that we call pantries, okay? And some of us, it may be just a single cabinet. Some of us may be a large cabinet or a room. It depends on how much you've cooked in the past. And basically, when we talk about a pantry, what we're simply talking about is a place where we organize and keep our food staple items, all right? And it's just this process that we have to have on hand what we need to prepare a recipe. Most people have some flour and sugar. Well, now in the pantry, we also tend to find lots of canned ingredients, whether we use, and we can, in a way, we consider our freezer in this, what frozen vegetables we might have or what frozen food products we might have, but what we use in our pantry. So if you're a person who uses canned tomatoes, you want some of those. You want some, say, pork and beans or a variety of canned beans if you want to make chili. Your seasoning packets that you have, spices that you have, barbecue sauces, things that have not been opened and put in your refrigerator. So in one way, you think about this as your own private little store that you have stocked up with the items that you need. Well, in keeping that pantry then stocked, you should keep a menu, or not a menu, but a notepad beside it. And when you use something, you write it down so you know to replace it when you go to the store. Okay. Or you may find a recipe that has some ingredients that you don't have in your pantry. You may be able to substitute something if it calls for canned diced tomatoes, you could use canned chopped tomatoes. Texture will be a little bit different, but you can still use that product. So, you know, in building that pantry, you want the things in there that you use. You want to keep track of the things that you use so you can be able to make the recipes you want. One of the things that, I like to do is think about it in terms of how many different ways I can use a particular ingredient or something that I have in, my pantry. So I try to buy things that will be used in different ways, not unusual canned products or unusual frozen vegetables, but more what we consider the staples that I could build into a recipe. I could have some, say, in my freezer, some frozen green beans, some frozen peas, and some frozen carrots. And in my pantry, I have a box of Bisquick, right, or a biscuit mix. Then I could take a little bit of chicken or a little bit of beef, either cook it or use a frozen product, chop it up and all up, mix it, put a little salt and pepper in it in a pan, and I've got a chicken or a beef pot pie. So, you know, you think about the things you prepare and do. But this, remember, you got to be able to look at a recipe to be able to do this. And then once you've got your recipe, you've looked at your equipment, sort of know where it is or laid it out, you've got all your ingredients set out, you just start putting it together. A recipe is a list of instructions. It's a list of instructions that if you're not really familiar with cooking, you try to follow it as close as possible, okay, to get the product that's in the picture, the product that shows or the product that you're used to working with. As you become more and more familiar with the cooking process, more and more familiar with recipes, you might start making a few changes in it, add a little different spice, a little more, a little less, add a different ingredient. That's where the art of cooking comes in, the skill and the art of cooking that comes in. A recipe to me and to a lot of people who cook and really like to cook over a period of time is nothing more than a guide. If there's something that in that recipe that I don't necessarily have, now I go to my pantry and I look for my substitutable ingredients, you know, for some of those things. And I make a product that's very similar there. Now, the nice thing about following a recipe is that it should come out the same pretty much every time, so it's consistent. But when you start to mix in those other things, it changes a little bit. And you learn a little bit about adjusting flavors and things of that nature that become acceptable to you. Okay, then you finish. You know, and the finished cooking process, and it's what you've prepared and what you serve. And there's always a little pride in that, that you put this together and you serve it. And then, of course, you have to clean up when you're done, you know. So, but doing dishes and things like that's just part of the whole business. So I think one of the big things is that people have learned that cooking is not that difficult. It does take time, but sometimes it's relaxing time. Okay, to assemble those ingredients and put them together. And then at the end, you put it out, you've prepared this particular product. Now, I will say that as people learn to cook, and even if they follow a recipe, there are times that they don't come out quite as well as you would hope. So the question is, do you eat your failures? Do you eat your mistakes? And the best answer is, well, at least you try them, you know, from that particular process and how we use them. So, you know, we think about those things in terms of food preparation. And surprisingly, we have learned to cook. We have not lost the ability to do that. Our skills in general are probably not as great as they once were for, you know, in previous generations. And now part of what can make that a whole lot simpler is, you know, and back in the day, if you wanted fried chicken breasts, you got a chicken, you cut the breast off, you sliced it, you breaded it, you fried it. Nowadays, you can buy a package of frozen chicken breasts that are already breaded with a bunch of different flavors, and you can bake them in the oven. So, you know, some of this, the skill part has already been done for us. And then it's being able to take those frozen chicken breasts and decide what you're going to serve along with them, or decide how you're going to alter them, or how you're going to prepare them for that process. You know, people have to understand that there's a little science to cooking. Water boils at a certain temperature. We've talked about food safety for years. Food needs to be cooked to a certain temperature to be safe. You need to make sure your counters are clean. You don't want to do cross-contamination from raw food products to cooked food products. It brings in all these aspects of sanitation and safety that we've talked about over the years. So sometimes you can make a healthier meal versus going out and buying a full meal and bringing it home, because you may not put as much fat or as much seasonings or as much salt, so to say, sodium or salt products in it that they do in a manufacturing process. So the ability to cook, we have it. We've learned that we can do it, okay? Now we just need to keep doing it, get a little bit better at it, and actually enjoy and take pride in the food products that we prepare and serve. In the meantime, take a look at your pantry. Take a look at your canned items, your bottled items, your packaged items, your seasoning packets, you know, what you have, and make sure you stock the things that you have learned are needed as a part of preparing these recipes that you've come to enjoy. So that's about that on that process. You know, I just wanted to point out to people that not everything about the pandemic has been bad. We have learned some things. We have brought back some of the old skills that we used to practice all the time and are kind of relearning them, or new generations learning them. I've talked to parents who have made cookies with their kids, and I mean actually measured the flour, the sugar, the fat, you know, use the mixer and blend it together instead of buying the frozen products, slicing them off and putting them on a baking sheet to bake in the oven, that they've actually taken the time and they have enjoyed the process of doing that and working with their hands. So there's a lot we can take out of this, at least in terms of what we've relearned, what we've learned that's new, and the fun that we can have in food preparation.
Excellent. You always look on the positive side of things. I like that.
I try. May not always get there, but I try. So my question to you is, do you cook?
Oh, all the time. Oh yeah, we cook every night in our house. That's a big deal for us. My wife and I both worked in restaurants for a good number of years, so we like to spend that time at home cooking with the kids and having that big family meal every night.
Yep, and it's great. And you know, involving the kids, it's really good time to learn. And granted, we have to understand what things mean, that a large tea is a tablespoon, a small tea is a teaspoon. There's only so many ounces in a cup, and so many cups in a pint and a quart, and, you know, how we measure things and how we use things. So there's a lot that we could learn about it. Now, many times, the more people cook, the less they use measuring utensils. It's kind of like I could, in the palm of my hand, pour salt or seasonings and get pretty close to whether it's a tablespoon or a teaspoon, instead of getting that tablespoon or teaspoon out and using it. Sometimes I get a little bit carried away and my wife may say, this has got a lot of that in it. And of course, I always say, well, I intend to do that, either whether I did or not. But, you know, that's all part of the process. So, I hope people carry forward and continue to practice and use that old skill that comes about food preparation in the kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. Get out there everybody, I would offer this challenge. You know, we're coming up on the new year. Maybe that's a good resolution that's a little bit different than the normal. I want to lose 10 pounds this year. Challenge yourself to cook a meal and, you know, try it out.
Yeah, and actually get the recipes, do the shopping. There's over 39,000 different items in the average grocery store. So it is important to do the shopping ahead of time to get the things that you need. Okay, it may take you a little bit of time, but shopping in the grocery store can be fun to look at all the different products, think about how you can use them, and compare. Well, some people think it's fun, like me. Other people think it's a chore, but I enjoy it. So I hope everybody has a merry, safe Christmas and a healthy holiday season.